1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The House has narrowly passed a bill that would increase the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion, also cut federal spending. Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
House Republicans are not going to sit on the sidelines. We're going to lead and present a solution. That's what this bill is.
That bill, though, not expected to pass the Senate, and the president says he'd veto it. Montana Republicans banning transgender lawmaker Zoe Zephyr from the House for the rest of the 2023 session. It's in retaliation for her scolding lawmakers over a ban on gender-affirming care for children.
I rose up in defense of my community that day, speaking to harms that these bills bring and that I have firsthand experience knowing about.
She'll still be allowed to vote remotely. President Biden and the South Korean president revealing a new plan to counter North Korea's nuclear threat by sending a U.S. nuclear ballistic sub to South Korea. Stocks fell again on Wall Street. This is ABC News. British regulators blocking Microsoft's $69 billion deal to buy video game maker Activision Blizzard over competition concerns. Texas lawmakers are taking on Meta, Twitter, and TikTok.
In the social media Wild West, just about anyone can sign up for an account, including minors.
Our children are not the customers of these platforms. They are the commodity being traded.
Texas State Representative Shelby Slauson says the youngest users may or may not understand what they're signing up for.
Their young minds are being shaped by addictive algorithms, and their attention spans are being captured and curated in directions that serve corporate bottom lines.
Her proposal would require parental consent for anyone under 18 to open a social media account. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Progress in the Roman Catholic Church. For the first time in the church's 2,000-year history, women will have the right to vote at the meeting of bishops. Pope Francis approving the change for the Vatican body. Andy Field, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there. I'm ticking.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Is it a good thing or a bad thing? More religious than we are. 844-967-2789. Now, full disclosure, I would say the three of us, Jane Madnair, Greg Bach, me, Kristen Bry, not religious people.
I am not.
Jane is not.
I am an atheist.
I don't know if I'm an atheist. I was raised Catholic, and then...
So you're atheist light.
You could be agnostic.
Well, I think it's I believe in being a good person. Like, I feel like what's funny is that there's so much of the actual, like, Christian beliefs of, like, being a good person and taking care of others and stuff that is, like, very much at the core fabric of who I am. But as far as, like, going to church, feeling like I'm talking to someone whenever I was praying, like, that kind of stuff, like, that's just a disconnect for me. And so, and on average, while we are not in the majority... Year over year, there's less and less of the American public who identifies as any organized religion.
Yeah.
As of right now, it's about 65.4%. Versus Congress, which is at 90%. That's just Christian.
Well, you asked the question. Repeat the question for me again.
So the question is, so the premise is this. The share of U.S. adults and Congress members who identify with religion... is very different. And our elected officials, most of whom are Christian, but there's, this is also the other religions as well. So our elected officials on average are much more of them are religious than the public is. And I'm asking, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
So I would just make one little asterisk to that question is that politicians say they are religious.
Fair.
Because in this country, they have to. It's just the way it is.
Well, and that's where, so I got this from Axios, which wrote this up, and it's based off of Pew Research Center, and they found, they did a survey, basically. Yeah. So this is some of the stats to break it down for you at home and Greg and Jane. So of... the overrepresentation in Congress. So of the U.S. adults, 65.4% are Christian. Sorry, so I got that wrong before. It's not just religious. It's specifically Christian. 90% of Congress is Christian.
Yeah.
1.9% of U.S. adults are Jewish. 6.2% are in Congress. Of Congress, 6.2% is Jewish. So overrepresented there. And then it's flipped on the opposite side. So of members of Congress, 3.7% are unaffiliated or do not know, versus 26%, almost 27, 26.8% of U.S. adults. And the only equally represented group is 0.6% of U.S. adults are Muslim and 0.6% of Congress is Muslim, which is basically Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, I would think.
And the leader of the...
Is he Muslim or is he Christian?
No, he's Muslim.
He is Muslim. Yeah. Okay, so... Three. And there's probably another one I'm missing, but 0.6.
I'm surprised so many people in Congress will identify as unaffiliated because they have to be running in super, super safe districts and very liberal areas to say that, because I remember when Elizabeth Dole went after, I can't remember what her name was, saying she was an atheist, like trying to say she's an atheist, and thought that was going to be the way of Elizabeth Dole getting the senator, the job of senator. And her opponent, who I cannot remember right now, said, I am a Sunday school teacher. I am not, I mean, like, nothing against those individuals, but like, you were just patently wrong. But you can try to attack that, and that can win you an election, or in Elizabeth Dole's case, make it look a moron. But I'm just surprised that many people are identifying as unaffiliated. That's shocking to me. In fact, if anything, I'm surprised the Christian number isn't higher.
Oh, higher than 90?
Yep.
Well, think about it. At 90, and then you add Jewish, that's at 96.
Okay, yeah.
You know, at that point, you're at 96.2%. Then you add Buddhist, and so yeah, so it's really like the 3% that is as unaffiliated.
Wow. Oh.
And so I just think it's interesting because I think you're right. On the one hand, it says... You know, when you are campaigning and you're saying that something like, I want to give you hope that things can be better, but I do not believe in God. Yep. And so like there's potentially like the cognitive dissonance between having faith in something and having faith then by proxy that things can and should be better. But it's also interesting in the way that then is not really representative as far as, especially on cultural issues, where we are as a society. And, you know, I mean, we haven't touched on this right now, but in Texas, didn't they just pass that they're going to put in public schools, put the Ten Commandments everywhere? And so, it's a catch 22, right? As far as, even if right now we said, and anyone at home, you at home saying, this is not a good thing, 844-967-2789, but would you vote for someone if they were proudly atheist?
If their policy is aligned with what I believe were like that represented me, absolutely. I mean, I've been voting for Christians for my entire life. So my entire voting life. So I don't have a problem voting for them. I would have no problem voting for an atheist, agnostic, a Buddhist, a Jewish person, Church of Satan. I wouldn't care. if they said, these are the things I believe in, I'd be like, all right, that's my person. I'm gonna punch that ticket.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly for me, like, their religious affiliation is nowhere on the radar for me as far as who I vote for. But
that's easy for us to say, though.
Is it an assumption? Is it just because this is the way it's always been done, and so the assumption is you can't run successfully without talking about your religion and your faith?
Has
it been tested enough?
I think it depends. I think it depends on the office sought. So if you're running for school board, my guess, well, no, I take that back. I'm a pullback school board. School board can be very religious now. But if you're running for alderperson, I mean, I don't remember a whole lot of when I was working on a campaign for mayor, even in Racine. I remember the whack job saying, what does he think about abortion? I'm like, well, he has his opinions on abortion, but that has nothing to do with this job. He has no power when it comes to that decision. He's not running for Supreme Court. So, I mean, if you're running for Congress, especially Congress nowadays, senator or president, you got to talk religion. You have to believe in God. The moment you'd say you don't believe in God, you might as well just cash in your chips and go home. I don't think there is a viable road to that office if you come out, unless, like I said, you live in a very open-minded district, or you are running as a very safe candidate.
And yet I find it so interesting that because you claim to be a religious person, that is no guarantee of actual piety.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't. It doesn't prove anything.
Whether you're an elected official.
Or not.
Or an average person.
Exactly.
And that's why I said who are Christian versus who say they are Christian, because it's easy to just say, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Jesus is my guy. That's my guy up there. That's my homeboy. Yeah.
Righteous Gemstones. Is that going to have a third season?
I think so,
season?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that show.
844-967-2789. Is it a good or a bad thing that our politicians claim to be far more religious than the general public? 608 checking in with a text. Love what you guys are doing for local politics and reminding me to vote locally. Anyone that needs the threat of eternal damnation to be a good person is not a good person.
Hey, maybe that's one of the reasons that Ron Johnson can give the Republicans to vote for them. Eternal damnation. There's one. You're welcome, Rojo.
Well, and the other thing that really bothers me is the cherry picking that goes on.
That's the second time you brought up cherry picking today.
I know. But if you're gonna cite something from Leviticus as the hard and fast rule that has to be followed,
yeah,
there are a whole bunch of other things in Leviticus that you have to follow too. At least, in my opinion.
I feel like I need to memorize that, because I see other people be able to roll that off the tongue. I've seen on TikTok a million times, as far as everything Leviticus says.
It covers a lot of stuff.
And isn't it like you can't.
No tattoos.
You can't lie next to your wife during your period.
No
is it
pork.
That one in there? No pork.
No bacon. No pork roast. Sorry.
You can't plant crops of different kinds across from each other.
I don't think women can cut their hair.
Touching the skin of a pig. There's a great scene from The West Wing that does that.
That does that. I know that people can do it. I feel like that is a goal for me to memorize it so that I can quickly use that rebuttal. I actually don't come up against it very often.
But the thing is, Leviticus is like old hat now. Someone like brings up Leviticus, they already know that they've lost the battle, because they know that they're going to be just.
I don't think that's
smacked
true.
In the face. I don't hear anybody talking about Leviticus anymore. I just hear people just say, "Because the Bible says don't be gay," and like that's all they say. But they don't quote Leviticus anymore because they know. I mean, like,
I've seen a lot of TikTok comments with people talking about Leviticus, and then they get taken down very quickly by people who
point out the other things that are covered in Leviticus, yes. And those are laws that they don't like, and they don't support their arguments.
That aren't convenient.
Exactly.
Because I want to cut my hair.
Exactly. And I want to have
I want to have
a BLT, man.
Remember those signs from early pandemic and the original protests that were happening at the Capitol when people wanted to end the lockdown?
I want my hair.
And there was just that random woman who was like, I want a haircut.
That happened at Brookfield Square, and that woman, and I know for a fact that woman owned a salon inside of Brookfield Square. That's why she did it.
Really?
Yep, she did that. That was
That's some inside baseball that you're welcome. Know. That was when I was early days locked in Wisconsin Rapids.
Inside baseball with Greg, where I talk about everything but baseball.
844-967-2789. We're coming up against a break. We will be taking your calls and your texts on the other side. Is it a good or a bad thing that our politicians claim they are more religious than the general public?
Stay in my home and I will love you forever and ever. We never will part. Oh, how I love you. Together. That's how it must be.
Hey, this is
the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come ticket.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you, but I gotta think twice.
Is it a good or a bad thing that our political leaders are, on average, so much more religious than those us sinners?
There you go.
Apostates. I prefer apostate.
Ooh, good one.
This just sounds wonderful.
844-967-2789. Taking your calls. Scott from Chicago. Thanks for joining us, Coast of Wisconsin. What do you want to say?
Hey, guys. So there's some... Like, I'm probably going to be unpopular with most Christians listening to the station right now, but I am a strong Christian, and these days I would vote for an atheist before I vote for someone who says they're Christian.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's saying something.
And why is that, Scott?
I mean, it goes to the famous Gandhi quote, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. I don't see a single politician that says they're Christian who acts like Christ.
And I think, you know, Scott, that's so interesting because I feel like, as I even made that epiphany about myself of just the things that I think are my value system may or may not have come from like the religious background that I had as far as being a good person. Mm-hmm. But I remember from a very young age being like, why would I, like, this doesn't make any sense that you're supposed to be a good person under threat of going to hell versus just doing it to do it or of the promise of going to heaven. Like, it feels like the bad motivations for doing the right thing is because some eventual carrot or stick.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, I'm not Christian because I'm afraid of hell. I'm Christian because that's kind of... I mean, that's a whole different debate. But, like, I don't see a single politician who says they're Christian who acts like the Bible.
And if they did act like the Bible, would that make you want to vote for them? Or do you think it's something because we should be a division of church and state that shouldn't be a part of the calculus at all?
I don't think that the politics should play in. I don't think the religion should play into the political stances. I think the religion should affect their moral beliefs, mm-hmm. and those moral beliefs should motivate those policies, not their religious beliefs.
I totally agree, Scott.
Really appreciate Scott. Thank you
very
so
well
much.
Very well put, Scott.
844-967-2789. If you want to check in with us, either text or phone. 414 says, here's a term you see on a lot of campaign literature. I believe in Christian values. This does not mean the person is religious, church-going, or a believer. It is a line to get elected. Mm-hmm. There are so many more qualities to getting elected than whether you're religious or not. To me, character is what counts.
Yeah. And it's just interesting because it feels like there is, I'm sure most risk-averse campaign managers would never let you not run with some kind of religious affiliation.
Yeah, they would tell you to lie.
Yeah, and in because it's not tested, like you said, unless you're in a very safe seat, and with gerrymandering in so many states, there's plenty of those.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to think of like who's going to be the sacrificial lamb? Like let's test this theory on how many people, how many voters out there really care whether or not how religious I am. And obviously it's different depending, like you said, I don't remember in the mayor's race for Milwaukee when Mayor Johnson won, him talking about his religious affiliation.
Yeah. They just, I mean, they can say things of like, you know, my faith in people, my faith in family, but they're never given questions that regard or define their faith. And honestly, someone who could today be like, yeah, I don't believe in God anymore, will be just fine. Robin Voss, he could do that today. He honestly couldn't. I think there'd be very little repercussion on the action.
Well, look at what happened with Donald Trump, for heaven's sakes. He was asked what his second or his favorite
verse was.
His favorite, it was 2 Corinthians. No, that's not right.
Yeah. He likes all of them. He likes them all. They're all great.
They're all my favorites.
Especially the ones that deal with slavery. He loves those ones too. He loves all the words. He reads the best words, Jane.
Absolutely.
The best words. Yes. Donald Trump for 2024.
Is this a new thing, or have you been calling him this for a while?
I've been calling this for a while, but I've never done it on air. This is the premiere joke.
It does roll off the tongue nicely.
Yeah, I prefer it to people like making other nicknames for him, because they all seem to be like underhand mean. Now he's a mean guy, but I just like Donald Trump just sounds funny to me.
Trump?
I have a
Donald Trump.
I have an extension on my computer that anytime the word Trump comes up, it comes up as Drumpf.
Sometimes it's the little joys in life, right,
Thank
Greg?
You,
if you do not know what we're talking about, I'm gonna write this as a reminder to myself. Back in 2016.
Yeah.
During the election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, Last Week Tonight, John Oliver did a whole half hour, basically, dedicated to his last name and the power and the influence of a name like Trump. But they basically did like the etymology, like background research, that likely his last name derives from Drumpf.
D-R-U-M-P-F. Drumpf.
And was that ever fact-checked?
I think so. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think so.
Because I mean, they do their research on that show, but it was such a ridiculous premise, and how over the top the episode was. There was like a big sign that came down. I think there was confetti.
Make America Drumpf again. But then they created a Chrome extension that you install it, and anytime Trump comes up on there, it reads as Drumpf. Still works.
Send me the link to the extension so I can put it in the show notes for today.
Will do. Will do.
Why spread the joy? Isn't that some Christian values for you? Spread the love.
Exactly. Sharing. It's about sharing what you have.
Making America Drumpf.
All right.
Again.
When we come back, Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford is going to join us. She is a comedian based out of Madison, but she is also the first ever trans woman to be elected to office in Madison. On April 4th, she was elected to Common Council. So I'm excited to talk to her about what the new job's like, what inspired her to run, and also what transferable skills being a comedian brings to being an elected official. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith.
A progressive.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The House has narrowly passed a bill that would increase the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion. Also cut federal spending. Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
House Republicans are not going to sit on the sidelines. We're going to lead and present a solution. That's what this bill is.
That bill, though, not expected to pass the Senate, and the president says he'd veto it. Montana Republicans banning transgender lawmaker Zoe Zephyr from the House for the rest of the 2023 session. It's in retaliation for her scolding lawmakers over a ban on gender-affirming care for children.
I rose up in defense of my community that day, speaking to harms that these bills bring and that I have firsthand experience knowing about.
She'll still be allowed to vote remotely. President Biden and the South Korean president revealing a new plan to counter North Korea's nuclear threat by sending a U.S. nuclear ballistic sub to South Korea. Stocks fell again on Wall Street. This is ABC News.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come ticket.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
I guess I just got lost being someone else.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. She is Jane Mettner. Is this Nickelback?
No, it's Three Doors Down.
Oh.
It's a different thing.
Come on. Yeah, Mon, it's Greg Bach.
How to hate of what he
Three Doors Down is not Nickelback.
Sure. Prove me wrong.
We're off to a great start. Our next guest on April 4th won the election for Madison Common Council, District 15, and is now the first out trans woman ever elected in Madison history.
Woo!
She is also a longtime comedian, so of course we already love her because of that. But Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you. And is this your house? For anyone who's watching the live stream, they can see hot pink lips and wall behind you. Is this your house?
No, this is my studio. So I own a company called Lady Laughs Comedy, where I teach stand-up sketch, acting for the camera, and things like that. So this is, and podcast, clearly.
Yes.
This is my setup for for that.
Fun. Dina, we could use a couple of those signs that I see behind you. We're going to have to talk about your neon supplier. I like
it. Let's just get some pink in here, too. I'm loving it.
Really, we need to feminize this this studio a little bit more.
A little bit.
Yeah, it looks so butch and mask.
Well, I want to get back to that company because this could be a class that I want to take. But let's start with, this is your first time running for office, right?
Correct.
And so what was the inspiration to run in the first place?
Well, being a trans woman, this country is becoming toxic for us. Yeah. And after, I've thought about it throughout the years, 15 years since I've been doing comedy, and I just kept being like, I'm dirty and I say stuff on stage. Probably should not run for office. But then the Pulse nightclub shooting happened, and I was like, I need to do something. And my friend was encouraging me to run. And I was like, I think so, but I'm not ready. And then seeing what's happened to our country, you know, I'm originally from Texas, and watching people that I love be targeted and forced out of the houses and homes that they've built and, you know, dedicated their income and family life to was just heartbreaking. And so I was going to try to plan a comedy tour of Texas, which I'm still kind of working on.
Brave.
Called
Brave.
Make Texas Trans Again. I have the red hat and everything. And instead, I decided to run, like, bloom where I was planted, I guess. I know that there are so many trans, queer, non-binary individuals in the city, and I thought it was important that we had a voice at the table. And as somebody who's experienced poverty, we all know the artist lifestyle is not
lucrative.
Always very lucrative. Yeah, no, not always. I see the problems from a different angle. I see it from a lens of poverty. I see it from a lens of being trans. I see it from a lens of being a woman trying to make her way in an industry that is patriarchal and geared towards male attention. Mm-hmm. And I love male attention, but not always that way. So in December, I'd already called Representative Francesca Hong, and I called one of my friends who does great work in the political sphere. And I was like, I'm thinking about running. And they're like, well, there's a council seat coming up. And I was like, yes, I know. And yes, I'm scared. And Francesca Hong was like, I'm going to ask you like 7 times until you say you're going to run. And I was like, you don't have to. And I hit the trail and I ran a campaign like I wanted to win.
We're talking to Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford about her win in April for District 15 older person. And Greg and I were talking about this. When it comes to having a more gender neutral, is it older person? Is it alderman or elder woman? What have you learned as far as the noun goes when it comes to being on Common Council?
Here in Madison, we refer to everyone in a non-gendered way, alder.
Alder.
I know that Milwaukee is alder woman, alder man, alder person. Same thing goes in Chicago, but here we use a non-gendered word there called alder.
And right now, people who disagree in Madison, their heads are exploding.
Yes. All 3 of them.
Yeah, exactly. So then, because the race was close, the race came down to tight. 54 votes. Which is another reminder of every vote counts. And so how did, as much as you said that you were scared to jump in, once you were in, how'd it go?
Well, let's talk about the day of the election. I was like, I can't canvass today. I can't do anything. So I kind of crawled in a ball in my office corner and slept for most of the afternoon.
Really?
And I was just like, it feels like either way, whether I win or lose, it's going to suck.
That's funny.
And wow. Then for about about an hour and a half that night at our at the celebration party, he was up two votes, and I was like, oh man, I do want to win. And when it happened, I was like incredulous. I'm like, really? This guy has, you know, experience in the fields that I'm talking about. And I'm a fat lady who has a big heart and tells dirty jokes, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I was, I mean, everything I've done to this point has prepared me, or at least informed everything I'm doing right now and will continue to do for the time that I'm in office.
And so how has it been so far? I mean, I know it's not even been a month yet. I had that revelation earlier in today's show. I was like, oh God, the election wasn't even a month ago.
Right.
But have you been sitting in meetings? Like, has it started?
I mean, it started before the election, yeah, quite honestly. But we got sworn in last Tuesday. I've already been doing the work of Alder for the full month. And I was not prepared for the onslaught of from a fire hose into my face. You know, like, it was just, it's a lot.
Yeah, yes, it is.
And in Madison, we have not approved full-time Alder pay. So we are required to work our full-time jobs as well as dedicate more than part-time hours to a job that I feel deserves the honor of serving and should have pay. You know, those are things that we'll talk about. Like, if I'm doing a job for you, do you want me to be exhausted because I'm working 40 hours at my day job, 30 hours and as an alder?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you want that? No, you want me to be able to pay attention to your desires and needs. So those are things that we're looking at again to kind of bring up the attention to everyone. And you know, and people that have families aren't able to spend as much time with their families because they're serving the community.
They're spread so thin.
Dina, when you talk about the fire hose coming at you, is it responding to constituent complaints or concerns?
Yes, and everything else. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how to word things. I'm still trying to figure out who to contact for everything that's sent my way. So there's not that like month of training and, you know, so it's a lot, but I'm like, I'm already feeling and seeing that I can make a difference.
Yeah.
And that alone makes all of it so worth it.
And I know one of the things on top of trans representation and the attacks that are happening in that community,
that's being something single that, and dating.
That yes. How are you going to fix that, Dina? Let's talk about the single people. How do you fix that? Well, we can get back to that. But the real question is affordable housing, which I think is a problem across the state. It is especially bad in Madison, though. I grew up in Madison, and I literally had a conversation with my mom this weekend, who they live in Wisconsin Rapids, but I was like, well, you know, once kind of just different family things change, would you and dad move to Milwaukee, move to Madison? She's like, I don't know if we could go to Madison because it's so expensive now. It is, the housing prices are insane. And I know there was a big kerfuffle in the last couple months zoning. But as far as what are the other things in the purview of Common Council that are important to you that could make Madison more affordable for people who are not very, very rich?
Right. I mean, those are questions that I think every municipality in the country are dealing with right now, too. The cost of labor, the cost of materials, are going up exponentially, but we have to prioritize housing and safe, stable shelter for people. So I'm fortunately on the Community Block Grant Development Committee. I'm on the city-county homelessness issues, and I'm really excited to dig into those things. Some of the things that I'm hoping to do, especially in city-funded developments for specifically for low income and affordable housing is requesting or asking that the developer not use credit as an entry point. Because credit is, and that's, I mean, I don't know what that's going to look like yet, but it will, as I'm going forward, that's a thing that for me, when I moved to LA, my credit was horrible. And at that time, it was hard to, you know, get into anything legally.
Yeah.
So I had to move in with people on their credit, you know, and here in Madison, around the country, we're asking for people's credit scores, and we're not taking into account that the credit score, if you have a bad year and a half, your credit score can be messed up forever. Mm-hmm. And if you can't get housing because your credit score, because you've had a bad couple of years, then that's insane to me.
That's a whole other episode. I feel like of like the con job that credit scores are.
I mean, that's
for the only country that does it too.
I could talk about this for days. I mean, when in 2008 my credit score was 525. I was a bad person financially.
Dude, no, you were just a bad person. Period. Then that's what it says about you.
Thanks, Kristen Bry. Are you gonna stand up to that, Dina? Are you gonna let her talk to me like that?
Yes.
You're mean. But like, I spent the next 15 years building my credit up, and then when we bought a house, it knocked my credit down. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and the thing is, like, if your credit can be taken down so quickly, I feel like the process of getting it back up there shouldn't be years upon years upon years upon years. They're just holding you hostage, and that's mm-hmm. unfair. It's a scam. The credit game is a scam.
Totally. I would, and I know I even haven't jumped into the whole Biden thing that was announced last week as far as buying a home and people with better credit, and like that doesn't on its face sound like a good thing, but in general, like, shouldn't we just have a conversation around how useful or like detrimental credit scores are in general?
Because
like, anyone who moves to this country comes with no credit score.
Yeah.
And so as an immigrant, you're trying to, whether you're on a visa or, you know, someone who is a working class, like, how do you get housing? How do you get a credit card? How do you do any of these things? Because of the loop-de-loop of, well, you can't get credit without having credit.
Yeah, my friend has no credit score because he doesn't have a credit card. He doesn't have debt. He's lived that American dream of live within your means, pay with cash, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he walked in, he's like, I want to get a car. They're like, nope.
Nope.
Sorry, buddy. Mm-hmm.
Well, this has gone off the rails.
However, not to completely take it off the rails, congratulations on working in kerfuffle and loop-de-loop in one segment. I really think that's an accomplishment.
I think I should get a sash.
We got to work in one more word. I think, like, you know.
We'll come up with it at the commercial break, what other word I can fit into the last segment. Well, when we come back from the next break, we'll see how much we can fit into 8 minutes, because I want to talk about the op-ed that you just wrote in Cap Times as a response to a pretty transphobic other op-ed. But also, I want to hear what you think. So what skills as a comedian you bring that's transferable to being an alder? Our guest is Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey everybody, how we... never belong. I gotta be me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. And we are talking to Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, newly appointed alder in District 15 in Madison, and also a longtime 15 years comedian.
And I know 15 years.
15 years. Craig, how long have you been doing comedy?
Totally since 2006, but stand up since 2012.
Were you an improver before?
Improv and sketch. Well, I don't really talk about the improv anymore. Okay. It's fun. Whatever. Sketch.
Oh, all the improv haters here.
I love improv in person is still so fun to watch.
It just it's so the best.
It just doesn't record well.
Fair.
The I'm skill not good set. It improv is like the gym.
Yeah, but some but exactly. But here's the thing is there are people who go to the gym who will go to the gym, work out correctly, then they'll go home and they'll eat correctly, then they'll just live a good, healthy life. But then you see those people at the gym who stand next to machines and talk to people all day. That always ends up being the shows I see, where people are just like nothing but like, question, denial. I'm gonna let's stand here and talk for 20 minutes. Blah, I'm terrible at improv, but I took a second city class.
Yes.
But we were talking about comedy, and Dana, you and I have known each other for a while now.
Yeah.
And so it's two things. Because when I watch political...
Yes, I'm single. Gosh. Greg.
I think you're asking for us to set you up with someone. This is the second time you've brought this up.
I would never do that.
She would never do that. But when I see her, she's always like, I'm single. I'm like, I get it. When I watch like C-SPAN, or when you watch clips on late night shows, you see these back and forth with politicians. And as a comedian, I'm always like, you can say this, but you can say this. As a comedian, how do you, I mean, you've been in the job for a few weeks now, but how do you see yourself bringing that, like that ability to be spontaneous and think on the fly and be funny, entertaining while being informative to this job as an alder in Madison?
I mean, I usually go to the dirty place, but so I may not be as funny. it's just part of who I am. It's part of how I show up. So it'll show up.
Good.
And I'm kind of curious about what will make like what will go viral from a city council meeting because I said something insane.
I can't wait to see you on John Oliver. Them just praising you for slamming some
Madison
moron.
Madison Alder says.
This is the thing. Madison has like we have a pretty progressive group of people in there. Now, some are more progressive than others, but it feels like a very supportive place for me. And I was shocked by that.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. I mean, I always feel like I'm not as important. I act like I'm a lot more important than, and I think inside I feel like I'm a lot more important than I am. But when I show up, I get nervous about not being the right person for the right job, that imposter complex that we a lot of us face, you know? So yeah, there's that whole thing where you're like, oh my God, I'm a comedian. I'm not a politician, but my passion and my heart for our community and for the people who live in it, I think is what really pulls it all together. And that's where I want to sit in that funny, compassionate, maternal kind of energy vibe.
Yeah.
And I think we need more of that.
And we do need more of that. And I think that there is something to be said as far as whether it's at the common council level, school board level, of a considering electing people who are just good-hearted and doing it for the right reasons versus doing it for a resume builder and because they just want to be in politics and this is where you start.
They feel entitled.
Yeah.
This is where I'm owed this. Blech.
Well, and one thing, so you said that it's felt so far like a safe space as far as like you've been welcomed on and you didn't know if you would be. So that is great to hear. But I guess, you know, I think inside of Wisconsin, Madison is considered this liberal bastion. And yet for anyone who actually lives there knows that there is things to work on, just like there is everywhere. So as far as your motivation to run, because of what you were seeing nationally, as far as trans issues and attack against trans people, What's the vibe in Madison when it comes to stuff like that? Do you feel like it is a protect, like you guys feel protected, and not that you have to speak for an entire community, but as far as, I think a lot of different places would look to Madison to feel like they have it more figured out than other places. Being someone who lives there, do you feel like that's true?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I mean, I am white. I am, I have cis privilege. I move through the world in a very cis way. I understand, like, when I go to a restroom, nobody calls me out, but I also am like, when I cough, like, and like trying to fart, you know, respectfully.
How does one fart respectfully? That's teach that class. Add that to the curriculum at your school.
That is next. That's next, coming in the fall.
I thought I could support someone, but not you. Not this fart respectfully thing. I've earned this.
But it's like, it's amazing to me how receptive. I mean, even when I moved from LA, I was like, oh God, I'm going to get murdered or married. But I moved here from LA and neither happened. But I was welcomed in a way that was shocking for me because, you know, growing up and or coming out in a time of where we didn't have positive depictions in media. There weren't transgender comics just running around willy-nilly, mm-hmm. you know, like we were not publicly represented well. And I think the difference now is that people get it a little bit more and children are coming out sooner and they're telling their parents and their parents are having to grapple with the idea that their vision for their child is not going to be what they thought it was. And the way that people have showed up for their children here in this city has been amazing. And I've even had people come up when you waited on me in 2013 at this diner, you know, like you were the first trans person I'd ever met. And I just loved you and saw a human being. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Cause we're human. And I'm shocked at how many times I have to say that.
Well, as a human, we are so happy that you joined us today. We'll have to have you back because this was very, very fun.
Dina, I just want to say
it is almost over.
I'm very proud of you. I'm very, very proud of you.
Greg didn't even know you were running.
I didn't even know you were running.
I wasn't real open about it at the beginning because I was scared.
Well, next time you run, I'm going to donate. I'm going to knock doors. I'm coming to help.
All right. Yeah. Well, we got to go to break, but Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, thank you so much for joining us. This was very fun.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back after the top of the hour news. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I just gotta be free. Daring to try to do it or die. I gotta be me.
It's easy to
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.